This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. If you're visiting, welcome in the house of the Lord. We've been going through a sermon series called Dream to Destiny. It's a 10-part series. We are in chapter 9. Can you believe it? And this is the penultimate sermon, the second to last. And some of you are going, okay, this is wonderful, but are you going to help us to discover our actual destiny? Right? Is anyone thinking that? Any hands? Yes, praise God. There's a few hands. Many of you, all of you, I wanted to put up my hand there too. We will, in the final chapter, be talking about that and helping you discover what is the destiny, what is the road that God has for you. So hold on to your horses. We have gone through the pride test, the pit test, the palace test, the purity test, the prison test, the prophetic test, the power test, the prosperity test. And this morning, we're working through the pardon test. Here's my first question to us this morning. Could you forgive your brothers if they sold you to be a slave? And remember, they were going to kill him. If it wasn't for Reuben, they were going to kill Joseph. Would you be able to forgive your brothers? I was thinking this week as I was working through the scripture of once again just going through the story of Joseph. I was thinking, man, I would so love to take a break from the 10 character tests of Joseph just to go and focus on some things that happened in Joseph's life. Like, there is so much that God has been speaking to me in Joseph's life that I would love to actually do a study outside of the 10 character tests on the story of Joseph. And I welcome you to go and spend time in scripture. So often we read the story, we know the story so well, we kind of go through it. But really, when you go in depth and you go and really seek God, God just shows you so many amazing little nuggets, so many amazing things of his heart that you pick up when we truly spend time in scripture. I gave a sermon a while back, and this is quite a long introduction, I'm so sorry. But I gave a sermon a while back where I spoke about the Holy Spirit. And I said something. I said, it's when you're watching a movie, the Holy Spirit is like the symphony. It's that sound. You know, when you have a scene, and I played a scene where of Haiti at least, when they had all that destruction, they got the scene of Haiti, and it's just this film you're watching, and with no sound, and it doesn't really have an impact till you play the sound. And the Holy Spirit is the one that brings the sound when we read scripture. It brings it to life. And so I'm praying that as we go through this, that God is really bringing scripture to life to us. And with that, let's get into scripture. Genesis 51, at least Genesis 50, verse 15. We're reading from the ESV. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a messenger to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this commandment before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sins because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father." Let's stop there. Hashtag God card. That is the biggest God card I've ever seen. You know the God card? Dire tressé. That's the God card. All right. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring about that people, that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus, He comforted them and spoke kindly to them. The only way that Joseph could have spoken kindly to his brothers is if he had dealt in his heart this issue. This is the first time in Scripture we find the word forgive. So from Genesis 1 all the way to Genesis 50, this is the first time we see the word recorded, forgive. And the Hebrew word is nasa, not quite, nasa. Because we have to forgive the Americans. Apology to all my American friends. The definition, deliverance, pardon, complete forgiveness, to absolve, to release of penalty. And the Hebrew dictionary says, it's to lift up, to lift, to bear, to carry up, to support, to sustain, endure, to take away, to forgive. See, forgiveness is to absolutely and fully absolve. This is what Christ did for us. Christ lifted up our sins, our transgressions for all of us. He bore it on himself, therefore releasing us from the penalty and absolving us fully. Now, I know I say this every Sunday, but if you cannot learn to forgive, if you cannot forgive people, you will not walk in your destiny. This is one of those tests that cancels most Christians before they even start. Because Joseph had to, let's just think about who we all had to forgive. Joseph had to forgive his brothers. Joseph had to forgive Potiphar. He had to forgive Potiphar's wife for sure. He had to forgive the warden because he was beaten and the guards that beat him up. He had to do a lot of forgiveness. He had to forgive through all of this. Many of us say, you know what, I've tried. I try to forgive. Many of us say, you don't know what was done to me. You don't know what I went through. You don't know what those people did to me. Now I need to say this. I understand that sometimes it's hard to forgive people for a tremendous wrong or harm that they've done. No one watching this, no one sitting in this building has not needed to forgive. Not one. And so I'd like to speak about a few keys to help us to be able to forgive. Would that help you? Would that be good this morning? The first key is to release. Let's go through that scripture. Again, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil we did to him. So they get these messengers and they say, say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers. Do you note that the brothers do not repent? This is not repentance. This is a plan for the brothers to get Joseph on the right page. So they lie about their father. See, we have no record of Jacob actually saying this. We see them plotting this. And listen to what they say. Your father commanded, not your father asked. Do you know what that means? This is what it's saying. Your father's death wish. Before your father died, the one thing he asked for, his dying wish, is that you forgive your brothers. And then they throw in that God card. We are the servants of God. For they did evil. It never says that we did evil. See, the brothers never repented. See, they went before him and they say to him, but we your servants. They bowed before their servants. That's kind of a no-brainer. Joseph is the most second powerful person in the world. He has authority over everyone. Are you with me? He had all authority over them. That's not repentance. The pardon test is to forgive even if there is no repentance. So that whole thing, I'll forgive my wife. I'll forgive my husband. When? I'll forgive my boss. When? Scripture calls us to forgive. And the fact that Joseph was so kind towards them shows that he'd already forgiven them. Let's go to verse 19. But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? If you do not forgive, you put yourself in the place of God." As we read these next two scriptures in Leviticus and in Romans, vengeance is the Lord's. Vengeance means to bring justice to an unjust. Situation. You see, we cannot bring justice because we are not just. There is only one that is just. That's Jesus Christ. We are justified and made just through Christ, by Christ, but we ourselves are not the just one. Only Christ is. You see, if you live with unforgiveness, you will always try to revenge or vindicate yourself. You will always be trying to avenge yourself. You will always try to prove something. How many of us are just trying to prove that we're not what our bosses say, what our parents say, what our friends say. We're just trying to prove we're living and not what they say I am. You have nothing to prove. You have someone to please. We are called to please God, not to prove anything to the world, not to prove anything to God. For those of you that's at home, I don't know if you got those scriptures, Leviticus 19:18 and Romans 12:19. See, we argue with the Lord. Why do I need to forgive that person? Why do I need to forgive that taxi driver? And all taxi drivers for that matter. He was wrong. Right? Why do I need to forgive that person? They were rude to me this morning. Why do I need to forgive that person? They didn't greet me this morning. Pastor didn't greet me. They're wrong. Have you ever thought about this? You don't have to forgive someone that's right. Ever thought about that? just want to forgive you for baking me a chocolate cake. Husband, I want to forgive you for those flowers that you gave me after your long day of work. Right? See, that's the whole point. You need to release them. If you're going through it in your mind, you've not forgiven them. Can I put it like this? God is not going through your sins in his mind. That's good. God is not going through your sins in his mind. And if you are continually bringing up in your mind the sins of the people in your life, you've not forgiven them. So what is the key to release? The second key, to receive. Have you ever thought and really pondered upon the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer? It starts so beautifully until verse 12. And forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Verse 15, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Many of us are thinking, man, why didn't they say that before I gave my life to the Lord, right? See, here's bad news here. Forgive us as, in other words, forgive us in the same way that we forgive others. Man, that's harsh. But you see, Matthew 10, verse 8 says, I don't have the scripture up. Freely you have received, so freely give. God has freely forgiven you, so freely forgive. See, if you have a problem to forgive, you might actually have a problem to receive forgiveness. Listen here. If you feel in any way that you're praying for your sins, or at least if you're trying to earn your forgiveness, all right? If you feel in any way that you have to pay for your sins or that you have to earn forgiveness, you will make others do the same. They also have to earn it. You'll make them earn their forgiveness. See, many of us as believers live with a penance mentality, a hit me mentality. I've wronged you, so hit me back and we're even. I was in a boys' school. You guys, that were boys, you know, hoe for the hoe. You remember that? And then you each give each other hidings until you can't anymore. You just hit harder and harder, and then the one hits the one, and the one hits the other. What is wrong with boys? We have a self-flagellation mentality. So when you take and you beat yourself, but the Lord can't just forgive me, I've got to beat myself. And there's flagellation, self-flagellation that kind of happens. Oh, I've got to fix it now. See, we think that everything that it's bad, it's because God's getting us back. Car breaks down. Oh, God, well done. You got me back. Didn't have my quiet time this morning. Knew I shouldn't have done that sin yesterday. Now I'm paying for it. Serves me right. God is never going to get even with you because he already got even with you on the cross. If you have a difficult receiving forgiveness, you will have a difficulty giving forgiveness. So what's the key to receive? Key 3. Believe. Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove all our transgressions. Think about that. It's to infinity. It's to absolutely obliterate. Isaiah 53 verse 6, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. So here's my two questions. Question 1, if you're at home, shout at the screen. If you hear, speak muffledly into your mask. How far did God remove our iniquities from us? As far as the east is from the west. Now, question 2. What did he do with our iniquities for us all? He laid it on Jesus. Right? So how far did he remove our sins? Thank you. And what did he do with our iniquities? Many of us struggle with this concept. If we go look deep inside ourselves, we truly struggle for a revelation on this. And we need to pray and ask God, Lord, give me the revelation of the power of forgiveness. Listen to what Habakkuk 1 says. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. New King James Version says, you cannot look on wickedness. God is so pure that he cannot look upon wickedness. Job 36 verse 7, he does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous. God cannot look upon wickedness, evil, or sin, but he never takes his eyes off the righteous. And I love the way the New Testament confirms the Old Testament. 1 Peter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So I don't know if you're like me, I'm thinking, man, I wish I was righteous. According to this, he can never look at me. I really wish I was righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We were born sinful. And he's so pure, he cannot look upon sin. See, his eyes are on the righteous every day. So God took all my sins and lifted it off me. Forgiveness to lift. And he bore it on himself. That I can be made and become righteous. That I am the righteousness of God. And now his eyes are on me daily. You see, we are made righteous. Something had to be done with our sins. Just so God could look upon you. Now, not only can he look at me, But he can walk with me. He can talk with me. He can love me. He can embrace me. And he can have a relationship with me. Not only can he look at you, he can walk with you, he can talk with you, he can love you, he can embrace you, and he can have a relationship with you. I think I lost you all there. Is no one excited about that? Okay. He has totally removed my sin from me. Because I understand that he forgave me. And I can freely receive the forgiveness. And then freely I can release that forgiveness. Ladies and gentlemen, bitterness will destroy you. Bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping that the other person will die. This is a hard word for our nation. Underlying in our nation, there's a lot of hurt. And a lot of confusion. We're seeing the outworkings of that in our time. With the amount of violence that's coming out. And deep down, it's because there's no forgiveness. Some of us feel we can't forgive God. Some of us feel we can't forgive ourselves. Some of us feel we can't forgive others. Let the Holy Spirit bring to mind anyone in your life that you need to forgive. During lockdown, about 2 months back now, a pastor wrote me a letter of repentance and asked me to forgive them for some stuff that they did to me many years ago, about 15, 16 years, something like that ago. And when I read the letter, you know what was the beautiful thing for me? Is that there was no malice that I felt towards this person. There was no ill thoughts towards this person because I'd forgiven them 15 years ago. And for me, it was so beautiful to see that God had spoken to this person and that there was a form of humility in this area. That was so precious to me. But I'd forgiven and forgotten. Because God forgave me and forgot the evil and sins that I did and do daily. I've shared this story before, but I want to share it again. I lost both my grandmothers when I was quite young, but my one grandmother was a real woman of faith. And I remember whenever we went to the old age home, two things. One, the grandma kiss. Lord help me. Still have nightmares. And and the second thing, whenever I'd walk into her room, she'd always be playing either worship music or a sermon from some American preacher. She had like thousands of tapes. And so, like, for her, like, her greatest thing that she gave her grandchildren, or at least her children, was her tapes. It was like her thing. And she had all the big speakers in those days. And whenever you're walking down, so she'd be hung off, stop, and worry, hoor die manne preek. That was my grandmother. A real woman of faith, a real woman of integrity. And, but long, long before I was born, She's one of those, she was a Matthews, so the Matthews in Crebeau were wagon makers. So they were these huge giants. I mean, there was these, and she was a big auntie. And no one messed with Aunt Edna. You had the fear of God on your life when Aunt Edna walked in, because she's going to tell you about Jesus. Like I know a lot of you think I'm hardcore. Like, I got it from my grandma, man. I'm like lightweight in size and stature. But many, many years ago, before I was born, my grandfather passed away when my mother was very young. And she had a farm, and she looked after the farm, and she was the farmer. She did the farming. And the one night a man broke into her house, bound her, raped her, and burnt down her house. And in those days, there weren't things like insurance and, you know, the way we live. She lost everything. Everything. She lost her dignity. She was raped. She lost her house. She lost everything she owned in that house. And here's the beautiful thing about the story. They caught the guy. And Aunt Edna went to the police station and says, I would like to speak to the man that raped me and burnt down my house. And as I explained to you, you don't say no to Aunt Edna. And they put her in this room with this man. And you know what she did? She spoke forgiveness to this man. She said, I forgive you for what you've done. I forgive you. It was such an amazing testimony and story that the detective that was on the case gave his life to the Lord, because if a woman can go through something so, so damning, then there must be a God. And when I grew up in church, Uncle Tony was one of the elders of my church. And Uncle Tony came to know the Lord because of the beauty of a woman that showed the power of forgiveness. If my grandmother could forgive such an atrocity, such a disgusting thing, such a tremendous wrong, how much more, no matter what we go through, can we forgive? Can we stand this morning?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.